Amen. So as I read that, because remember I asked this question last time. I said, you know, does God answer every prayer? And I believe that what came out from the answers, the conclusion is that no, God does not hear every prayer. God does not answer every prayer. There are conditions that make prayer valid or not. Okay? But we are reading John 15 now, and verse 7 is giving us a master condition. Look what he said. He said, if you abide, or if you remain in me, that's Jesus talking, and my words remain in you, now there's an open check. How many of you believe that Jesus is a miracle worker? You believe? Yeah. You believe that Jesus can solve any problem? Yeah. You remember the story of Lazarus? You know, he died and he was in the grave for how many days? Four. You know, he was in 3 days and Jesus came on the fourth day. And Jesus, you know, everybody had already given up. In fact, they were telling me, you know, we know you're a miracle worker, but if you had come before he died, you would have healed him. That's what they were saying to him. Because prior to that, they never see him raise anybody from the dead. So if only you had come, even at the last moment, you know, when he was taking his last breath, we know you could have healed him. But now he's dead. And then Jesus said, no, I'm the resurrection and the life. You know? And he told them, he said, open the tomb. He said, no, by now, it will be stinking. It's 4 days. Yeah? In their imagination, he's not just dead, he's decaying. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, he said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, say, if you believe. Mira, are you there? I'll soon get you to read. Say, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And said, he told them to open it, and then they raised him up. So you believe Jesus can do anything. Now, Jesus is talking. He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask for anything you want. I just really wanted to get it. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask for any. What is anything? Let me find out. Let me check my English if I'm getting it right. Crystal, what does anything mean? Anything. Yeah. What does that mean? If I say you can ask for anything, what does that mean? What does that anything mean? It means?
Everything.
Anything. Any. You can ask for anything you want, and it will be granted to you. So that means that if I want to understand faith, I need to understand this verse. If I abide in him and his words abide in me, I can ask for anything I want and it will be granted. So my question is this. For me, when I read that, the question that goes through my mind quickly is, how can I abide in him? Because once I can get that right, I'm a champion when it comes to prayer. You know, the other thing I was saying, I said, if you are praying and your prayers are getting answered only half the time. Yeah? How do you know that they are getting answered? Because if you throw a coin and you pray and say, Lord, please make it heads, and it comes out and it's tails. Yeah? And then you throw a coin again and say, Lord, please make it tails, and it comes out and it's head. Now, in so long you keep throwing, you continue to have heads and what? Tails. And in fact, if you throw long enough, half the time you get heads and half the time you get tails. So how do you know is God answering your prayer? You understand? How do you know it's just not a product of chance? Yeah? How do you know? But if you pray, you know, and throw a coin and you ask that the Lord you want heads, yeah? and you throw that coin 100 times, and you get 100 heads, then you know that your prayers are effective. They are being answered. Do you see what I mean? You are being answered. But, and this is the key. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask for anything you want and it will be granted. So question, how can we abide in Christ? Yes, let's have one or two answers. What does it mean to abide in Christ? Because it's a key, a master key to answered prayers. Yes? How can you abide in Christ?
By getting close to Him, drawing close to Him as He draws close to you. And
by drawing close to
by
Him.
Prayer and
yeah, let's just take the first answer. By drawing close to Him. Yes? Let's take more answers. How can we abide in Christ?
By delighting in His ways.
By what?
By delighting in His ways.
By delighting in His ways. I just want to quickly make a point about drawing close to Him. You know, many times when we human beings, we write songs. Like, for example, we have a song, and it's a good song. We'll still sing it. We'll be singing it. It said, "Draw me close to you and never let me go." Let me tell you something. It's not the full picture. It's not God's problem. Are you listening to me? The issue of drawing close to God is not God's problem. God is already ready. Bible says in James, He said, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." God is ready. God is not having the problem. It's not God that will draw you close to Him. He has already done that. He has already sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus already rose up. He has already brought the gospel to you. You understand? He has already made the church available for you. He is waiting for you. So if you want to be closer to God, it's not God that will draw you. It's you that will come, because He's already drawing you. Are you with me? It's not more you. That when we sing, "Draw me close to you," it's not really a deep, valid prayer. Because God is already drawing you. The reason why you are not close to God is because you are not drawing near to Him. Because God is already drawing you all the time. Hallelujah. You know, we say that God is love. So the nature of love is love always reaches out. God permanently, even the sinner who has never known Jesus, God is still drawing them. Hallelujah. Every day He's putting things together to give them an opportunity to come to the light. But they will never experience it until they receive what He is offering. Hallelujah. So James says, draw near to God. Let's go there. So you say James chapter 4. So we're talking about how do we abide, because it's a master key to making your faith work. If you want your faith to work, you got to abide in Christ. I mean, like, fine, if you want your faith to work 1 out of 100 times, fine, you can decide not to abide in Christ. You will just, your report card will be 1%. You got me? But if you want your faith to work most of the time, you want a report card of 70%, 80%, you have to abide in Christ. Because if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask anything you want and it will be granted. Hallelujah. Open to James chapter 4. James. You know, I like the book of James a lot. We're still coming back to James today. Because I think James was the half-brother of Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus when Jesus was alive. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he believed. Because he is the half-brother. He lived with this man. He knows him. So for him to rise from the dead, he's got to be the Messiah. And in the book of James, he's very practical. He's a pastor. James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. Do you think it was Peter? Peter was an apostle. James was also an apostle, but he was called to be pastor. And eventually he pastored that church. You know, and when you read the book of James, it's very practical. As a pastor, I connect with James because there are many practical stuff, you know, for pastoring in James. Now look at James chapter 4. And let's read verse 8. So now I want to show you a major key about abiding based on the answer from Sister Agnes. James chapter 4 verse, what did I quote now? 8? Yes. James 4, 8.
James 4, 8. Come close to God and God will come close to you.
You see that? Let's have it from another version, just in case that didn't say it well. Let's go to grammar. Please let me pass it to grammar there. James chapter 4, verse 8.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
Amen. So from our own human perspective, we like to try to put everything on God. He said, oh God, why are you not helping me? You see what my problem, why are you not doing anything? God is always ready. Imagine, God is always on. Yeah? You know, it's like the socket you have, the electrical socket you have in your house. Yeah? It's configured to be always on. He's always ready to give you power. Hello? Your electrical socket in your house is always ready. At least if you are living in the UK. It's always ready to give you what? Power. So it's not a problem of the supply. It's a problem of connection. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, say, you need connection. You need to connect. Hallelujah. Now, let me, while we're there, you gave an answer which I'm also very interested in. You said to abide in Christ, you need to delight yourself. Is that what you said? You need to delight yourself in the Lord. Go to Psalm 37. Let's look at verse 4. You see, so this is a major key. So you understand, if your prayers are not getting answered, you understand what the problem is. Now, that doesn't mean, if you're not abiding in Christ, that doesn't mean that once in a while, prayers will not be answered. But it means that your scorecard will be like 5%. You don't want to be like that. The scorecard of your prayer life will be what? 5%. You don't want to live like that. If you want a scorecard like that's 80%, let's assume it can't be 100 because you're human and because you're not perfect, you know, you always miss something. But if you want a scorecard of 80%, you got to abide in Him. Because if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask for anything. Anything you want. And it will be granted. That means that there's some people, it's better you don't cross their path, because if they are abiding in Christ and you cross them, yeah? And they go to prayer, you are in big trouble. Hallelujah. You know an example of such a person was Abraham in the Bible. Abraham. You know Abraham? Let's go to Psalm 37 verse 4. I just really just want to explain that and then we'll move on. So you understand that the things you want are not the problem. God is not as if God was so weak He could not grant your prayers. Like as if God granted your prayers, that will take a part out of Him that He will be less God than He is. See what I mean? Like we explained before, everything that we see was made by what? The Word of God. It means that so long you can see it in somewhere, someone else or somewhere else, God is able to do it. Because it came out from Him. Even the smartphones you are playing with nowadays, this thing would never have been if it didn't first exist in the mind of God. At the beginning, God also provided for a smartphone. It just at the right time, it was developed. Nothing exists without Him. You get it? Nothing exists without Him. So the things you want are already in God. It's not a supply issue. It's a connection issue. It's a delivery issue. The issue is not with the supply. It is with the connection and the delivery. How many of you have internet service at home? Yes. So have you ever had, you know, a time where your internet service went off? So what are your problems? What causes it from your own observation? When your internet service is off, what are the usual suspects? Yes, anybody? Yes?
The network service.
The network service, yes?
You can't receive any Wi-Fi or data.
Yes. What will you normally do if you can't? You go to your computer and it's not working. What is the first thing you will do?
You switch.
Exactly. You reboot it. And that solves the problem more than half the time, doesn't it? Amen? Even my sons, they already know that now. I said, Daddy, can you switch? Hallelujah. You see, even with human service, sometimes there's a supply problem with the network, but not with God. God is always on. He never slumbers, he never sleeps. Hallelujah. His name is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. Everything is inside God. Everything you ever needed. In fact, there is nothing you can desire that God could not provide, provided it's legitimate, of course. Yeah? But usually it's a connection problem or a delivery problem. And I will explain. Today, I want to explain both the connection problem and the delivery problem. And the solution to both the connection problem and the delivery problem is connected back to faith and obedience. Amen? Psalm 37 verse 4. Open to it quickly. Psalm 37 verse 4. You see, one of the things that really changed my life in terms of being able to live victoriously is the day I settled it once and for all that the problem is never with God. So I have never ever approached people and blamed God for anything. Hallelujah. The problem is never with God. God is perfect. He doesn't miss his appointments. He's always on time. He always does his own things. If there's something not going right, the problem is not with God, it's with me. Yeah? It's something I don't know. Or something I'm not doing. I get that again. If there's ever a reason why I cannot download my request from heaven, it's not a problem with God. It's a problem with something either that I don't know or I'm not doing. Sometimes you do all you know how to do and you don't have solution because there are things you don't know. But the moment you know them, you cannot do other things. But the problem is never with God. Hallelujah. Because God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should change his mind. God is ever on and is ever ready to bless you. Hallelujah. But there are rules. Just that there are rules in the physical, there are rules in the spiritual. You know very much that if you don't put fuel in your car, it's not going anywhere. It's a physical rule. You understand? In fact, actually, if you find that there's no fuel in your car, don't waste your time praying about it. Just quickly go to the next filling station and top up. It's a rule. Are you with me? It's a simple principle. The same thing, there are rules spiritually. If we understand them, we will operate them. So just say, if I can understand it, I can operate it. Is that simple? Psalm 37 verse 4. Yes, let's have someone who read it. Yes. Yes. Let's have Amanda, we'll come back to you. Psalm 37 verse 4.
Delight yourself also in the Lord. And it shall give you the desire of your heart.
Amen. He said, when you delight yourself in the Lord, what will he do? He will give you the desires of your heart. Because of time, let me just round up that part. So the key words for abiding is communion and fellowship. Now, let me tell you something. If you want minimum contact with God, yeah, God will allow you. But that also means that your ability to download from God is what? Minimum. It's just the same way. If you want minimum contact, you have minimum blessing from God. Because you don't want to have anything to do with Him. If all you want to use your spare time for is relaxing and watching football, watching TV, eating and drinking, God will allow you. You know what I like about God? That's why I like to be, I try to be like God. You know, I try to be like my father, God. That's why I don't like to put too much pressure on people. I will preach to you, I will teach you, I will I will try to motivate you, but I really, really don't want to force you to do anything because God does not. I will let you enjoy your life. But your faith will be at the bottom level. Bottom. It cannot deliver any result. Now, of course, there are still things you can achieve in the physical. If you don't, if you have a minimum contact with God, you can still do some things by yourself. That's the truth. There are many things you can do by yourself that you don't need God for. Yeah? But when you need a supernatural result, your faith will not deliver because your contact is minimum with God. And then as you walk through life, you will find out that not every problem in life is physical. There are some problems like you throw everything at it, and it's not coming through. What will you do? What will you do? Hallelujah. So you have to delight yourself. If you say, God, I don't want much to do with you, He will allow you. Hallelujah. But you cannot get more than what you have put in. Hallelujah. But if you when you settle it once and foremost in your heart that God, I'm for you, then God will be for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you come close to Him, what will He do? Let me explain what the Bible says. I know you didn't get it because the way it said it is so simple. The way it looks to me is that when you take one step towards God, it takes two steps towards you. It's not the same. Hallelujah. You know God's legs are bigger than yours. Yeah? Hallelujah. Every time you make a move towards God, it will make bigger move towards you. Hallelujah. But if you make no move, it will just remain the same. Hallelujah. Now, let me talk about desires before we move on. So, if you abide in me, so you can understand that as I begin to focus more on God and I set my heart to please Him, I want to be with Him, I want to be in the place of communion and fellowship, including being in church. You see, when people practice not being in church for a long time, doing a lot of damage to their life, they don't know. They don't know. It doesn't matter who it is, including myself. If I decide now that I don't want to, you know, maybe God forbid, you know, sometimes you attend a church and someone annoys you. And you just say, okay, you know what? For the next 1 year, I'm not going to church. You know, I know some people, they say, I've been to all the churches. You know, people in church just annoy you. So I'm a Christian. I can listen to sermons on TV. I'm not going to church. You know what they've done? They have compromised fellowship. Their faith will be where? It will go down. You can't break the law of God. Hallelujah. That's why you find out that any time you are in the right fellowship, your faith must rise. Hallelujah. I said, any time you are in the right kind of fellowship, your faith must what? Rise. And I tell you something, no matter what is going on in your life, even if things are not perfect, even if you've done some things wrong, still come and stay in the place of fellowship. Your life will be much better. No matter what is going on when you're in fellowship. Hallelujah. Because that's where God has commanded the blessing. Hallelujah. So every time you came to fellowship, you are doing yourself one of the greatest favors you could do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, I was saying this at home fellowship on Friday. I said, God does not say that you have to prepare Him a meal so that you can eat. That's not the way it works. What God says is, bring me your pot, bring me your rice and your veggie and whatever, I will teach you how to cook it. Then we eat it together. That's the plan of God. Hallelujah. God is not trying to take anything away from you. He is out to help you. Hallelujah. Whatever God told you to do, He's the one who is going to give you the power to be able to do it. But what you need is to submit your will to Him. Draw close to Him. Hallelujah. And then He will draw close to you, and you will see His power and His glory in your situation, whatever it is. Amen. Before we move on, I just want to say something else. Let's look at Psalm 37 verse 4 again, and from there we are just going to jump to Mark 11. Psalm 37 verse 4. Yes, let's have it read again. Someone else, Now, Fernando, you wanted to read before, so let's have you read it. Psalm 37, verse 4.
Amen. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires.
What will he give you?
Your heart's desires.
Please, I want to teach you something very, very important today. If you miss anything, don't miss this one. What will God give you?
Your heart's desires.
Let me tell you something. Your desire is much more powerful than your need. Your need does not move the hand of God. I know, you son, you thought about it, that, you know, but God knows my needs. I know the Bible says God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Your needs, they move the heart of God. But it's your desires that move the hand of God towards you. What God will grant is your desire, not your need. You may need something, but not desire it. Let me explain that again. You may have many needs in your life, but you are quite happy to manage. If you are happy to manage, what will happen? You will manage. It doesn't move the hand of God. God will feel for you. His heart will cry, you know. His heart will reach out to you, but you cannot. Your needs don't bring the miracle your way. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Remember the woman with the issue of blood? In the Bible, this is a woman that was having continuous bleeding. Yeah? That's a story in the Bible like that. How many years has he had this need? Does the Bible say? Yeah? How many? 12 years. So, all through those 12 years, was God sleeping? Have you ever thought about it? Where was God for 12 years? Someone is continuously bleeding. Where was God? Your needs do not move the hand of God. It touches his heart. It feels for you. Yeah, it feels. But God is a God of law. Everything has its own rules. Everything has its own conditions. Everything has its own principles. When you follow any divine principle, you will see the result. Hallelujah. So, this woman for 12 years, she spent all her money. To who? Thieves? No? Doctors! They collected what? All her money. But she was still bleeding. Hallelujah. But as the desire began to rise, because basically she had a need, but she also had a desire to be whole. Yes? You see, let me tell you the proof of the difference between a need and a desire. When you desire something, you begin to reach out for it. Hallelujah. That's the difference between a need and a desire. Now, sometimes you need something. Someone is trying to tell you, you know, oh, Sister Mary, don't you see that, you know, you need this thing. You can do this. You don't understand. You don't recognize. You are quite okay to manage with it. Nothing will change. Hallelujah. But when your need becomes your desire, you begin to ask. You begin to seek. And you begin to knock. Hallelujah. That's why I told you, one of the most dangerous things you can do to yourself is to have no desire. Because no desire, no miracle. No desire, no. When you desire something, you begin to pursue it. When you desire something, the way you pray about it will be different. Hallelujah. It's your desires that move the hand of God. And it's your desires that can stimulate faith in you. Hallelujah. You may have the word of God in you, but if you don't have a desire, you can't apply your faith cannot work for that thing you don't desire. You know, it's like somebody came praying for you and saying, you know, I pray that, you know, you will go to school in Glasgow. And you don't want to go to Glasgow. You want to continue to school and be closer to your mom, isn't it? You know, desire. You maybe that school in Glasgow is the best school in the world. Maybe you actually really need it. But you don't desire it. That prayer is null and void. Even if God answers it, you're going to go to God and say, God, I did not ask for this. Hallelujah. Your desires are important. And so, you need to desire what you need. That's what I say. You have to desire what you need. Then you can move the hand of God towards you. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you the good thing about desire. Desire will make you to begin to seek the right solution. Yeah? And if you are seeking, Bible says, those who seek, what will happen to them? They will find. Hallelujah. And so that day, the woman who had been seeking, and then she heard that, oh, there's one Jesus in town. There was a blind man. And he, you know, faith comes by hearing. She heard. Oh, there was a blind man and Jesus cured him. There was a lame man and Jesus raised him. There was a, you know, a man with leprosy and he was cured. So then faith rose in her heart. When faith hits desire, miracle is already going to happen. Let me show you how. Let me show you this story. And if you know this story, follow me. But if you don't, just try to follow me a bit. This woman, when that faith met her desire, you know what? She already configured her miracle by herself. She already thought about it. Yes, this is how it happened. I will go there. I know there will be a crowd. I will squeeze. All this happened in her head before. I'm telling you. And then I will squeeze through that crowd. What I just need to do. You know the Bible told me. He said, if I can touch the hem of his garment. When do you think she thought about it? When she was leaving home. Hallelujah. He said, because that was what she said to herself. If I can only touch the hem of his garment. And think about it. Because faith and desire have met. Yeah? She already received that miracle before she went there. Because she said, all I just need. I don't need him to put his hand on me. I don't need to say, if I can, all I just need is, I don't even need to touch his skin. If I can just touch the hem. You see how? I'll be made whole. So what she went to do physically, she already received spiritually. That's why that day, there was nothing good to stop her miracle. It was already configured. Yeah? In her mind and in the spirit. Hallelujah. So your desires are powerful. Now, jump to Mark 11. I really want to explain to you Mark 11, 24 today. We round up there. I've caught my message, but that's fine. Let's just look at Mark 11, 24. I want to explain some important things to you, Mark 11:24, that I feel that you really have to get. Mark 11:24. Yes, let's read it. Mark 11:24. We are talking about how faith works. Mark 11:24.
Well, Mark 11:24. It says, I tell you, you can pray for anything.
You can pray for anything.
And if you believe that you received it, it will be yours.
If you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now, I'm asking you a question, but we'll read it again from King James or New King James. Look at what the Bible is saying. I know you read it, but think about what the Bible is saying. It said you can pray for anything. If you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. You have to believe that you've received it before you actually have it. Let's read it from King James or New King James. Mark 11:24.
Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire.
You see that? First of all, let's just pause there. The condition of that scripture is, what things soever you need. Is that what he said? God will not meet all your needs like that. What he will meet is what? God expects you to have enough sense to desire your need. Hello? Does it make sense what I'm saying? You need something. And if you have enough sense, you should desire what you need, isn't it? No, I don't know if you got what I'm trying to say. You need something in your life. If you have enough sense, you should be able to desire what you need. God can do that for you. You should do that yourself. Hallelujah. So he said, whatever things you desire. Yes. Go on.
What in soever ye desire when ye pray.
And when you desire something, you have to reach for it. Hello? I read in a book from the man of God, and I believe it's totally true, that God does not put the grapes of miracles in your mouth. God never puts the grapes of miracles in your mouth. Oh, you need that miracle, then God will come and just put it in your mouth. There you go. No. If that happened, everybody would be having miracles every day. Have you, as I called to you? Do you know how many miracles are needed in the world today? God puts the grace of miracles within your reach. He puts them within your reach. Just like in the physical, the grace are within your reach. They are not dropped into your mouth. So your job is to reach out for those grapes by faith. That's why you need faith. You need faith for answered prayer because it's your faith you can use to reach out for the grapes of your miracle. God puts the grapes of miracle with your reach. He does that because he's a loving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has already provided what you need, but you are to reach for it. So he said, whatever you desire, when you pray, meaning that you have to ask for it, you have to actually reach out and say, Father, I desire this, and where's the, sorry, yeah, I desire this and I'm reaching for it. Please continue reading.
Yeah. When ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Okay.
Now, this is where I really need to break it down before we finish the sermon today. See, he said, anything you desire. Now you go to God and you prayed about it. By the way, I want to explain a part for you to for there. This type of prayer we're talking about is not a prayer of, you know, Lord, if you want to do this, just do this. No, no, that's not a prayer of desire. If you desire something, you're going to pray fervently. No, let me explain something. Are you with me? Yeah? If you really, 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 really desire something, when you are praying, it will be fervent. It will be a prayer that is with all your heart. You pray in it like you mean it. You see what I mean? That's the difference between praying for something you desire and praying for something you don't desire. You need it, so you just, oh Lord, do this. But it's not urgent. But when you desire something, it becomes more urgent. That means that automatically when you're praying, it will be more fervent. Yeah? So that's the way to approach the prayer. But in essence, when you've done that, he said you should believe that you received it. And then you shall have it. It's a problem. I want to ask the question. How can you believe that you received something you have not yet, you don't yet have? Get the question again. How can you believe that you've received what you don't yet have? Let me ask one another. How can you, that's what the Bible says we should do. We have to believe that we've received what we don't yet have. How can you do that? Yes, yes, but what is the meaning? I know it's by faith. I know it's by faith. Actually, it's by faith. That's why we are even referring to the scripture. But how can you believe that you've received something you don't yet have with you? Yes. Let's have like 2-3 answers. What are you going for?
Say it again.
How can you believe that you have received what you don't yet have in your hands? You've asked something for from a friend, and whatever the conversation, you leave believing that you have received that thing, despite the fact that you don't yet have it in your hands.
Well, you just believe, and you have faith that it's going to happen. So
okay, you have faith that it's going to happen. Yes, yes. I'll come back to you. Yes.
You act like you already have it.
You act like you already have it. Yes.
Trust the person.
Because you trust the person, yes. Can I do?
Yeah, no, I'll just have to say what the...
Say it again.
Like, if someone said they were going to give me something,
yes.
I believe I'm going to receive it, it's because I actually trust that person.
Yes, okay. So, yeah. Trust. Yes, you know yet hit it. You know yet hit it. That's what I'm still going around. How can you believe that you received what you don't yet have?
What you explained to us that faith is what you have not seen. But you believe that it will happen.
Yes, okay. Yes, okay. Everybody still... All your answers is still explaining belief. Yes. I'm coming to you.
You keep confessing it.
You keep confessing, okay. How can you believe that you've received... Or what does it mean? What does it mean to believe that you've received what you don't yet have?
I'll have it in my spirit.
Okay, in your spirit. Okay, you're a bit closer. Let's have the final answer there. What does it mean to believe that you've received what you don't yet have in your hands? Tangible.
Well, you know, I've just...
Because if you have it in your hands, then certainly you've received it. Yeah?
Faith without works.
Yes.
Is there,
Okay, faith without works is dead.
Believe
okay.
You like to carry out the necessary work.
Yes. Okay. Fine. All right. Good. Let's stop there for time. Okay. Let me explain because it's important you understand. You want to try? Being thankful, okay. So you said thankful, you said confession, you know. Sister PJ, did you say confession too? Yes. Okay, let me explain. It's important you understand this. You see, when you say you trust, you know, like, you know, the person saying they will give you, it's still belief. See what I mean? There's no receiving there. It's still a belief. Now, let me explain the way it works. Let me give a physical example and the spiritual meaning. You know, like when you go to the store, like, I don't know, anybody ever ordered something they had to deliver to you? Like what? What did you order that they had to deliver to you? Makeups, yes. Say? Chinese. Let's take that. That's a good example. That's a very good example because the last time I had Chinese that was delivered was very nice, actually. And I ate it in somebody's house, you know? You go and you order your Chinese. How do you order your Chinese?
You can do it on your phone, online, or okay. On the phone.
And what is the procedure? What is involved when you're ordering? What do you go? At what point do you know that definitely this thing is on the way?
Oh, well, when you paid for it.
And when you pay for it and what happens? And they confirmed, yeah?
Yeah.
They confirmed. In fact, some companies, if they are online, they will send you an online receipt or a text. In fact, actually, yeah, they send you a text. Yeah. Or an online. In fact, actually, you know, it's like when my son say, Daddy, we wanted to order pizza. You know, there are two pizzas we order. Mom can either go to Domino's or Dad will just order it online from Papa John's, okay? They taste different. So after they've had Domino's for many, many, many weeks, they say, Daddy, we want to taste Papa John's. Now, when I want to Papa John's, I go online to their website and I place my order. Yes, my details are there, my credit card. When I click that button, I'm still believing. I don't yet believe that I've received. But when I get that text, order confirmed, delivery on the way, then at that moment, I know that my order is coming. Yeah? Can you see that illustration? Now, let me explain to you spiritually the way it works. To explain it, open your Bible. Last place to open today, John chapter 4, verse 24. So, the reason why I'm explaining this is that you have to know the difference between believing for something or believing that you've received something. They are different. They are not the same. Believing for something is different from believing that you've received something. And I need to explain why the Bible says it that way. Because how can the Bible tell you to believe that you receive what you don't yet have? John chapter 4 verse 24. Let's read it. Someone who has not read today. John 4 24. Yes, Sister Pamela. John chapter 4 verse 24. How can you believe that you received what you don't yet have?
Says God is a spirit.
Yes.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Please read it one more time.
God is a spirit.
God is what? A spirit.
And they that worship him must worship him.
In what?
In spirit and in truth.
That means that your prayer is a spiritual thing. Yeah? In fact, as God is a spirit, you also, you are a spirit. But you have a soul and you live in what? A body. You don't operate fully in the spiritual realm. You also operate in the physical realm. And most of the time, most of the goods you need them where? In the physical. Yeah? The reason why you have to believe that you received it, that any prayer you pray, yeah? Any prayer you pray, it doesn't matter if you use the best vocabulary in the world or if you use a simple vocabulary. That's not what makes your prayer answered. What makes your prayer answered is the fervency of your heart and the faith you apply to it. Are you with me? Prayer is a spiritual thing. So prayer comes, although you pray with your mouth and you use your brain to form the words, it is your heart that is communicating with God. Yeah? Because God is what? A spirit. Now, when God answers your prayer, the answer first comes in the spirit. any prayer you've ever prayed. Because anytime God wants to reach out to you, God lives in the spiritual realm. That's why you've not seen him. Are you with me? When you eventually enter the spirit, you will see God. The answer, when you fully enter. We've not seen him because God lives in the spirit. So any prayer you prayed, first ask to ascend from your heart. It doesn't matter if it's a good vocabulary or a bad vocabulary. It has to ascend from your heart to the spirit. And when God will answer your prayer, he will answer it first where? In the spirit. Then there is now delivery from spirit to physical. Now, when the Bible says, when you, what things soever you desire when you pray, of course, when you say what things soever you desire, it must still be in line with God's will. If you desire something ungodly, God will not hear you. He said it already. He said, if I regard sin in my heart, he will not hear me. So just forget it. That's why you have to abide in him. If you abide in him and his words abide in you, you will be able to desire what is what? Godly. But within what is godly, there's so much you can desire that is godly. There's so much good things that are right and good and true that you can desire. And they are godly. Hallelujah. In fact, if God gave you everything that is godly, your lifetime is not enough to enjoy them. So when you pray like that, God answers you in the spirit. Now, just like in the physical, when you paid for that good, the proof that you have received it is your receipt. Once you get that text or that email, say order confirmed, you know, order processed, you know that you have received it. When you go to that store and you order that sofa and you process the payment and you have a receipt, you know it's yours. All that's waiting is delivery time. Are you with me? So what the Bible is saying is that when you pray, you must use your faith to receive it in the spirit. It's not just to believe. You must believe that you have received it. Of course, not yet in the physical, but in what? In the spirit. And if you have received in the spirit, it's as good as yours. It's just delivery time. Hallelujah. Let's assume that I'm trusting God for a car. I've never had a car and I'm trusting God for my first car. Yeah? And I pray about it. I say, Father, I need this thing. Yeah, and it's good to have a need. You know, when you have a desire, it's good to tie it to a need. And I pray and say, Father, this year, 2017, I want a car. And I ask him. I've already read the Bible. I know that my God will supply my needs. I know the scriptures. Now, when I pray, from that moment, God hears me. You know, it's in the spirit. The telephone to the spirit is faster than the mobile phone. You let me tell you how fast it is. Before they call, I will answer. God already knows your thoughts before you ask. So when I ask him, in so long I'm abiding in him, and his words are abiding in me, he has heard me. When? The moment I ask. And let me tell you, when God, do you know when God answers your prayer? Huh? Immediately. Whether it's a yes or a no, it's immediate. So when you've asked him, so long as it's in accordance with his will, he hears you. When? When you ask him. And when does he grant it? Now, imagine if God needed so many resources to give you what you need. It would take a lot of time to do it. No. He grants your request immediately, whether with a yes or a no. And the difference between a yes and a no is whether it's in accordance with his will or not. If it is in accordance with his will, God grants it immediately. Now, if you know that God grants your request immediately, you are to believe that you've received that answer then. So it means that if I ask for a car and I pray to God, from the moment I stop, I finish asking, I believe now that God has granted me what? A car. It's still in the spirit. The car is not yet physical, but it's granted. Order is confirmed. All that remains is what? Delivery. If it's in accordance with his will, I can be confident that it's granted. Now, if I'm confident that it's granted, it changes how I will pray about it after then. Amen? Because if I've received something, I can't ask for it again. You got the idea? If I've received it, if God has granted my request, it is what? Granted. If I start asking for it again, I'm saying that it's not yet granted. So, I just need to concentrate on how to get it delivered. Yeah? The problem is the delivery. The problem is not the granting. If it is in accordance with God's will, and if you know, because you have to know, then it's granted. So, for example, I'm trusting God for healing. Yes, I'm having a pain somewhere in my chest, you know, and I just go to God and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know, this pain does not belong to me. And I pray about it. I put my hand on my chest and say, I receive healing. When do I receive that healing? That in the spirit, that very moment. Because faith is now. Faith is what? Now. Not future. Faith is now. God is now. Because God is a spirit. That moment, I've received my healing in the spirit. So Sister May comes to me and says, Pastor Ben, are you healed? Well, I believe that I am healed. You know, if I say I'm healed, without saying it that way, he may say, oh, start doing what you couldn't do. And I couldn't do, you say, oh, you're not healed. No. I'm healed in the spirit. Amen? I'm healed where? In the spirit. Imagine someone has a leg pain. You prayed and say, Father, you know, I received this in my leg. Let's say that because of that leg pain, you're limping. So someone comes to you and say, Sister Mary, are you healed? He said, I believe that I'm what? Healed. If you say I'm healed, they say move your leg. You can't move it. Say, oh no, you're not healed. Then all your faith will go. Because you have first of all received that healing in the spirit. Because God is a spirit. Did you get that? I just want to explain that before I move to delivery. That is how you believe that you have received. In the spirit. Now tell me something. When you receive something, what do you do? If I give you something you really want, and you have received it, what will you do next? What will you do?
Thanksgiving.
It's natural. So that means that when I've done that, I prayed about my chest, and I believe that I received it. If I believe that I'm healed, it's different. I can still go and pray about it next day because I'm still believing. Yeah. But when I believe that I've received it, I've taken note of it spiritually. It is now, I know it's not yet there physically, but it is now mine spiritually. So what do I do when I go back to God? I say, Father, I thank you because you heard me. I thank you because I'm healed in my chest. I have received that healing in the spirit. And it is mine. It is mine. And it will manifest in my body. Hallelujah. I can't ask him again because he heard me. I can't ask him again because I have received it. But I can't keep quiet either. Every day when I'm praying, I will go back to him and say, Father, thank you. Because my chest is healed. My eyes are healed. My body is healed. Or it's in my car. I say, every day I wake up, I say, Father, I just want to thank you again because you heard me. Thank you because my car is on the way. I'm not asking him again. I believe that I have received it. Hallelujah. So I'm thanking him for it. And it's not an empty thank. I mean business. You understand? If you ordered your Chinese, you've received your text. Then you have a friend. Maybe you order Chinese for you and your friend. Yeah? Sister Mary, are you still there? And they come to you and say, Sister Mary, where is the Chinese? Say, what do you tell them? He's on the way. Hallelujah. It's on the way. He said, are you sure? He said, I'm sure. He said, how sure are you? He said, I have the receipt. Look at the text. It's on the way. Hallelujah. Faith is your receipt. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me quickly explain because of time and we round up. That is why we talk about confession. Two ways to continue to guarantee your delivery is your thanksgiving and your confession of faith. You have to open your mind and keep this declaring what you have received. Keep saying it until it becomes your reality. Every day you got to say it. If I've received it, I've received it in the spirit. To ensure that the devil does not interfere with that delivery. Because devil can interfere. You know that. I got to keep thanking him for it. And I keep saying that it's on the way. Then I go back to the word of God that supports me and quote it. Say, by his stripes I'm healed. And so in the name of Jesus, my chest is healed. Hallelujah. Let me round up on this. Give me a quote. Please take note of this quote and we pray. You want to write it down? Write it down. The Holy Spirit gave me yesterday. I thought I should give you. The waiting time. You may want to take note of it. The waiting time for your delivery, it depends on the level of your faith, the nature of the goods, and the level of the opposition. Let me say that again. The waiting time for your delivery depends on the level of your faith, the nature of the goods, and the level of the opposition. If you order Chinese, you expect it to be delivered within 15 minutes, yeah? But if you go to DFS and order a new sofa, they will just go and manufacture it. Your delivery may be like 1 month or 2 months because that's the nature of the good. It's not everything that requires the same faith. Some goods require more faith than others. Some problems require more faith than others. Now, let me explain something again to you. If you don't have any opposition in your life, you know, or in your family, if you have a perfect heritage, many things will come to you easier. But when there's more opposition, it can slow the delivery time. But you can change that with your faith. See what I mean? All these are dynamics. So the level of your faith can reduce your delivery time. The nature of the goods can determine whether it's faster or longer. And then the level of the opposition. Do you understand that you are facing your life? All these three play together to determine your delivery time. But what you must never do is to stop believing that you have received. Now, let me tell you, even if your faith is not much, in so long you maintain that faith, yeah, all that will cost you is time. Hello, listen to that again. Let's finish there. I said, no matter the level of your faith, and no matter the level of your opposition, and no matter the nature of your goods, if you maintain that faith, all that will cost you is time. You will receive your delivery. Hallelujah. If you increase that faith, the delivery time will be shorter. Hallelujah. I hope I've taught you something good today. Let's pray. Why am I doing this? I want you to really enter that faith life and live it. So that's why we talk about confession of faith. It's to make sure that you are keeping that faith alive until you are delivered. You know, that's why we talk about thanksgiving. You have to believe that you have received it. When you believe that you have received something, you will have to thank God for it and you have to keep saying it. You keep speaking to that mountain. In the morning, you speak to the mountain. You are not begging that mountain. You are commanding.